nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, Jason and Trevor sit down with Matt Ashley from their team to discuss effective and proven revenue generators. Further, they talk about fundraising large amounts of money with the right kind of psychology and how to approach events with big donors. Let's get right into it.
Well, I mean, you're talking about multiple raffles. It kind of, you know, some of this flies in the face of what we talk about a lot, which is, you know, having 4 to 5 fundraisers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's big galas, those things, you know, that's kind of typically what it is. But I think, Matt, what you're talking about is works maybe not, you know, it's within that, but it's not going to be like some of the events that I've been to where there's, but I walked in the door at an event down in Texas. Mm-hmm. And the first year we worked with them, they had already cut it down, but I literally walked in the door, and before I was within 10 feet of the front of walking through, yep, I'd been asked for money 3 times.
Mm. And do you and like
so
that?
I don't think or you're talking about going to that far.
Okay. So that was annoying to you.
Oh, I just thought it was, by the fourth time I was doing this, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. And that's not what we want to do. You know, as fundraisers, we want them to participate.
Yeah, is raffle a bad word? I wanted to see your guys' feedback on that. Is raffle a bad word? Or
I don't think so.
We call it drawing. No, we call it revenue opportunity, revenue generator. Let's just,
yeah,
because I know people are going to say about the laws and stuff. So I'm just getting the elephant out of the room.
Well, you know, let's just say this right now. I'm the. It's a whole lot easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. But
I'm a big believer in that with the raffles.
I just leave them, let them figure it out. I mean, they're going to know what the law is, but I don't think it's something you got to browbeat about and go, well, gosh. I mean, like we know in Texas, they can have 2 per year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to have the item in your possession. Well, the reason that is because somebody in Texas, I don't know who it was. It's been years ago. This is the anecdote I was told. It may just be an anecdote, but it probably had a real deal, where they were offering raffle tickets and they were doing it for like $10, and they were going to sell. But the item that you were going to win was a side-by-side, you know, a Polaris or something like that. It was a 10,000, you know, at the time it was like a $10,000 ATV. Yeah. Well, they only sold $4,000 in tickets.
Gotcha.
So guess what happens? They don't have any money to go buy
the
Polaris. Yeah. And so,
someone complained. Got it.
Yeah, somebody complained. They said, "Hey, we bought all these tickets. You guys don't have enough money."
Got it.
And the point of that, you know, there's a lot of things that are wrong with that scenario. One is don't ever sell a ticket for $10. It's too cheap.
Yep.
And
two,
you need to have you know, get it underwritten. Get whatever you're raffling off, get it underwritten, and then you don't have that.
I just wanted to say it's really funny because I just wanted to get that terminology out of the room.
The raffle and drawing terminology is kind of state specific. From my understanding, I would always preface these conversations that every event is different. You need to know your clientele. Yeah. You need to know the atmosphere of your event. And the pendulum can swing too far each way. And you want to have that balance that's right for your event, right for your clientele. Some events, like Jason alluded to, you can swing that pendulum too far and it might be too much. And you might turn some clientele off in your event. You know, they're your members or your supporters in your organization. You want to kind of find that happy medium where, you know, you're raising the most money you can for your mission, but not going too far where you're over asking and really saturating the room with raffles. But sometimes I've seen it where we're not asking enough. You know, the people coming to an event are there to support you. They're there to support your mission. You know, your organization exists to accomplish that mission. And if you don't have the critical funds you need to accomplish the mission, you know, the goal doesn't get met. Sometimes I see it where it's not far enough. You're not, the needle's not far pushed enough of making that ask. And you got to kind of open yourself up to, man, these are our supporters. They're here to join us once a year and they want to give us money. That's why they're here supporting us. So.
Mm-hmm. We're a fundraiser.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said, you and I were talking about that yesterday, Matt, where you actually were talking about a particular event where you're like, our top donors are in this room once a year. And someone was pushing back at you, however delicately or assertively, I don't know. But they're saying, no, let's not ask. And you're like, well, let's find out. let's find out, you know, and push the envelope a little bit. And that's not over aggressive. I just think that's just smart fundraising.
Yeah. And you want to kind of, you know, find that ceiling or find that balance of what is the right amount. And it might be incrementally year over year, adding a little more or taking a little away, but you want to find that right amount. You can't stay the same, I guess. And just, you know, this is how we do things. I guess you should be open to change. So,
yeah, 100%.
Well, you know, we're talking about how these fundraising generators and how you do it. One thing that I find really interesting is whenever we're doing these coaching sessions with a nonprofit and the first time we're connecting with them, and, you know, I'll ask a question because they immediately start asking about items, or they'll say, how many items should I have? Or I'm talking about live auction or, you know, and this is before we even get to that. And I just always go back and ask this question. Well, how much money do you need to raise?
Remember the math you always say? I love that.
And, you know, it goes the same thing, whether we're doing raffles and things like that, because you get to the point and I just literally just take a piece of paper and say, okay, how much money we need to raise? Well, with our live auction, we need to get the night of fundraising, we got to raise $40,000. Okay. Now we've got the number. So let's just back into it and see what we need to do. What's the most expensive thing you've ever had in your auction? $2,500. Okay. How many items did you have? 14. You know, or some crazy, you know, 35 and every event's different. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get into it. You know, that's not what we're here to talk about today, but you start building this math and you go, okay, well, we're going to do a golden ticket raffle and that's going to raise 10 grand. And we're going to do, you know, a live auction and that's going to raise us. We think with these items, we're going to get on the worst day, it's going to be another 15,000. So we're at 25. We've got to get, you know, another 15 grand. Mm-hmm. And maybe we haven't had a big deal with a fund a need or a live ask that just doesn't have, we've tried that. It doesn't really work. People want to get something. They want to play a game and we say, okay, we're going to do a couple of things. I think it's fully appropriate to use that as an indicator of how you're going to do it. And then Matt, like, you know, if we're doing like, in your experience, we've done an event with 10, you know, we say we've got a golden ticket that's going to raise $10,000 and, you know, 100 tickets for $100. What would something that you would suggest putting in that wheelhouse, you know, for somebody that needs to raise an extra, you know, 2,500 to 5,000?
Yeah, I would always start with a higher price ticket, like the golden ticket raffle, and work back from there. Because a limited chance raffle with a higher dollar amount is just so much easier to sell and raise money with. But I would consider, how do we tackle maybe different price points? To kind of appeal for, you know, a different price and a different odd and give us the ability to maybe, you know, be creative in the prize front as well. Those are kind of the three things you want to consider. So it might be up from that $100 amount. It might be down from that $100 amount. But I love the limited chance raffles. People love knowing, you know, what their odds are, and they love having good odds. If it's kind of unlimited and it's,
they compute that quickly.
It's the $5 raffle that there's, you know, 100,000 tickets sold. People don't put a lot of, you know, credit into their opportunity to win.
Right.
And there's to support you as well. And that's what you need to be, you know, preaching throughout your event. You're not just buying a raffle ticket. You're supporting the mission with what you're doing. But yeah, I would kind of, I mean, I'd look both ways. You know, is there an opportunity to sell a $200 ticket or a $250 ticket? Or maybe it's a $50 price point and we double the amount of tickets sold. Or maybe it's, you know, a $50 ticket and it's half the number of chances sold and it's just a, you know, a lower valued prize. So a lot of different ways to go there.
Do you think in your 8 years of being a professional fundraiser and doing, you know, dozens, you know, what, 30, 40 events every year that you were in, at what point did you see, and I know you're saying, you know, it depends on the event, but did you see a point in, if you kind of take it all in, where you said, yeah, this was kind of the magic number for us. This is where I started anyway, to say, I'm going to do a $100 raffle. I'm going to do a $50 raffle and a $10 raffle or something like that. Was it?
Yeah, we had
like
the
that?
Nice, like you mentioned, we did a lot of events throughout the year. So we had kind of the foresight or, you know, testing at other events and learning
a lot. Yeah, a lot of data.
I would say if you could, you know, look at what you did the previous year, or maybe speak to other organizations that are in your area and kind of see what they're doing. We always looked at kind of a raffle income per attendee and kind of, you know, how is this, you know, event pacing versus other events that we've had or other states. You're kind of in your own bubble when you have, especially if you have one event a year, you know, and how does this compare to against everybody else and against our peers?
Well, you just said raffle income per attendee. So give me an example of that.
Yeah. So we would look at two different aspects of that. We would look at pre-event income for raffle tickets and at the event income for raffle tickets for each attendee, and kind of compare those numbers and the sum of the two against all the events we had. And we loved that pre-event income because that would expand beyond our event. And it'd also be, you know, tapping into, you know, a different paycheck, to be honest, from people. And it was kind of out of sight, out of mind. So they might buy a raffle ticket pre-event and then come to your event, see something you didn't offer at the event. And, you know, maybe, you know, buy that raffle ticket as well and support your event. So we had a strategy that accommodated both of those, that pre-event raffle that might be, you know, your volunteers reaching out in the community. Maybe it's just through your invitation or online process that people could buy raffle tickets. And then we had that strategy of in the event, how are we going to, you know, offer different raffles within our event that are different enough. They're not, you know, saturating the room. Like you were hit up at the door by three different raffles. You kind of want to think of the time of the event as well. And if you're offering multiple raffles in the event, maybe not all of them might not be live when the door opens. Maybe you have one that's live. Maybe you have a...
Like an ascending schedule.
We love to do that. And if you make them different enough, you shouldn't have that feeling like you did, Jason, when you walked in the room. You might have one person visit with you about a raffle, and then you might have a different raffle on your table that you can participate in, or maybe a flash raffle, you know, later on. And it becomes... you know, a lot different than just being blitzed as soon as you walk in the door and feeling overwhelmed by raffle tickets.
Yeah. I think that differentiation, I think, is a massive tool, right? Because once again, you're not going to see that at every event. It's different. Once again, donors are consumers. There's novelty involved. So I think introducing it's kind of like, hey, we're pulling a rabbit out of the hat and it's kind of fun. So here we go. You know, it's bright and shiny and new. I had a question, Jay. I know you had something to say probably. There was something also that you introduced me to, Matt, yesterday, which I thought was really cool. Because I brought up the example and kind of one part was the impetus for this conversation was, We have multiple clients right now selling multiple raffle items of ours. As a matter of fact, we had a client just recently sell a $250 golden ticket and a $100 golden ticket, and they raised $35,000. So with two different raffles, so two different opportunities. And then you and I said, okay, well, if we've got those data points, if we've proven that will work, you and I were riffing on an idea where you've done it in real time and just introduced me to it, but you've actually done it. And we kind of like started talking about it with one of our products where it's like, sell 50 limited 50 tickets for $50. Now you already have a $250 golden ticket raffle or opportunity, a $100 opportunity. Let's give folks the $50 opportunity for $50. And then you and I were going back and forth and our equation was, let's use our $1,595 Caribbean product. Okay. Sell 50 tickets for $50. You're bringing in $2,500. You're netting $905 every time you do it using a consignment opportunity like the one that we offer, which is one of our best sellers. But then you came up with something that just blew me away where it's like, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. So what's the moniker for that approach?
We would call it, in simple terms, we'd call it a never-ending raffle. And
there you
like
go.
I mentioned, every event is different and you kind of will know your own baseline. But you know, your event might be, you know, you have 150 people, you sell out every year, you have a very structured, you know who's going to be in the room, or you might have an event where you don't know how many people are coming to the event and you need to, you know, scale it accordingly. You might average 300, but you could have years that fluctuate up to 450, or this year you have way more people than you're used to. So we always had an opportunity, or the theory behind this was, you know, a way to kind of capture those extra dollars when we had fluctuations of people.
We loved it.
We had times where we were under raffled, like I mentioned, and we mostly had limited chance raffles and they sold out in the first, you know, few minutes of the event. And, you know, we're standing there thinking, man,
folks are clamoring for it.
We missed a big fundraising opportunity right there. We have people that want to support us and want to buy raffle tickets, but we have nothing to offer them. So this was a way to kind of be able to scale and, you know, limit our risk, limit our exposure on the prize front, but also offer a limited chance raffle in the room. And we would turn it over a accordingly to, you know, how the time was in the event and what the participation support was like. So like you mentioned in that case that we were talking about yesterday, you could sell a 50 chance raffle for $50 a piece, gross $2,500, net $900. And if that, you know, that's pretty appealing, man, I know I got a 1 in 50 chance to win this amazing, you know,
buy-in's digestible. Yeah. It's only $50.
The approach would be, man, that sells out. You know, it's a less of a return from a margin standpoint than doing the hundred chances at $100, but it's a lot more appealing to customers. So can we turn over and sell that same raffle, you know, a number of times, 2, 3, 4, you know, 10 times in your event?
Yeah.
And you kind of, you have a way to, and it's exciting because it gives you the ability. You have one, it's great for manpower because you need a limited number of people running one raffle that can sell out multiple times. It's exciting because you can bring your MC or auctioneer over and draw that. The room can get excited. And then you can have people who, gosh, I just missed out on the chance to win that, but I'd sure love to have a chance again. And you might have people come by, you know, multiple chances.
Yeah, 10 tickets or whatever.
Yeah, you might sell it.
I love it.
So
it was a great I thought it was cool.
That's a great strategy.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was
You know, you said something and you brought something up that is something I think about a lot. Because it's happened in the past 30 years. I've seen it happen several times where it was a really good night. Mm-hmm. Everybody was, the message was clicking. Mm-hmm. Everybody was buying into the cause. But it's like they didn't have anything else to do to raise money.
Totally. Like you said, it's a missed opportunity.
And this was part of this, you know, this is kind of pre when people really did the big fund a knee. That's, you know, people don't realize that's only been around 5-10 years where people really would do a fund a knee just where you're just giving money. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's fairly new in the scope of raising money. But I always think, you know, I want to leave headroom. I want to have some headroom here. So that way, you know, I want to build everything so I can hit my goal on the worst day, no matter what, I'm going to hit my goal. But if everything's right, if the stars are aligned, the market's up, whatever, everybody's flush with cash and everything clicks, we have that stuff in there to do that. And what you're talking about with having this raffle that you could, maybe it does just sell once. That's it. We sold 49 tickets. Okay. We know that's not going to go. But if you had 50 tickets and the people are going, you got another, everybody's going, I want to get a ticket. Can I get a ticket? Can I still get in?
I just love the psychology of offering it again after you announce the winner of the microphone. We're going to do another one. Get your tickets. And then the psychology and the clamoring for it, I think, is uncanny. Yeah.
It was that's fun. What I like. Yeah. People love that. And there was times we'd sell it, you know, like you mentioned, Jason, we didn't know how many times we were going to sell it. You know, our risk is limited if we only sell it once, but there's times we'd sell it 7 and 10 times an event. And just escalate it up.
Yeah, 10 times, $9,000.
That's exactly what we said yesterday. We were talking this through, Jay, because I think it's a no-brainer. I'm going to start talking to people about it. And I was thinking, hey, what? Maybe you're not having a live auction. And when people aren't having a live auction, we go, fine. You know, it's nothing, not the end of the world. Although we'd like for them to have a live auction and sell multiples of things, right? And really, you know, and net that $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. This is a great way to do it. Oh my word!
I want to bounce back to something that you said, Matt. And this is the one time of the year we have all of our major donors and minor donors and fans and everything all in one place. Mm-hmm.
They're all right here.
This is the one.
They also could be online.
And I think,
if you're in the event, but
I think that we underestimate the power of that and what
that's
that
exactly
is.
The word I was going to say.
And as fundraisers, our job is to extract the maximum amount of dollars out of the event. That's our job. I mean, everybody that's coming knows it's a fundraiser. They know we're here to raise money. So I think, getting past this mindset of, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Again, you know, it's a psychological thing. If you've been hit up 3 times in the first 10 steps in the door, it's just going to be a natural thing. You're going to say, no, thank you. No, thank you. No matter what, because you're just trying to catch a breath. I'm just trying to get to the bar, you know, and that's where I'm trying to find my table. You know, I don't know where my wife went because I know she's buying everything. And so I need to, you know, see what's going on. So I think there's a lot of those things go into it. But I want to come back to this question. I'm going to pin you down. I want you to really give an answer. What did you find? Like, how many raffles was kind of the optimum? Was it 3? Was it 5? Was it 2? you know, the never ending. Mm. I mean, that could be multiple in itself. But I mean, what did you find overall? I'm not saying it's every case, but what did you find was kind of the number that you liked?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you a straight answer on that. We had events that we did two raffles. We had events.
We're live. It's being recorded. You have to give an answer. You have to give us
gonna
a
be a diplomatic answer. Yeah, okay, we had events where we run two raffles, and that's what we were comfortable with. That was the right approach for that event. We had events that we probably mm-hmm. run 15 to 20 raffles, if you can believe that. I mean, a 750-person event. I mean, has the capacity to have all those differentiation, you know, all those different types of raffles.
Yeah.
So keep the cash drawer open.
I mean, be open to it, I guess. And you need to be cognizant about your supporters. You know, you don't want to oversaturate the room with raffles. But like we said, they're there to support you and support your mission. And make sure you're communicating that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, these raffle tickets aren't just for fun. They're raising money for the mission and they're giving us an opportunity for you to go home with something unique and a great prize.
I want to just throw something. There's an event that used to, I years ago, it was around for a long time, and it was a fun for a cause. And this guy, he and his wife really drove the event, but they would do things like 10 golden apples. Mm-hmm. We're selling 10 golden apples, and he would walk around with a platter, okay, with these golden apples on them, and they were $5,000 a piece.
Oh, wow.
I'm raising, you know, we're going to raise $50,000. And then they would win something. Let's just say it was a trip or something, you know, some condo, some deal, whatever. It'd be something. But it would be where they were probably netting at least $40,000.
Wow.
And what it did was, you know, there's not very many people that can just go and say, I'm going to blow $5,000 on a chance. But there are those people that would blow $5,000 on a chance, and they're not going to buy a $50 raffle ticket.
I love it.
They're just not.
Love it.
They're just,
the
you know,
the
they're
spectrum.
Like, yeah,
I love it, man. Yeah.
And I think there's some validity that, you know, where it's a very limited number, really extreme.
Cool.
And I mean, and he had to work it. This wasn't a deal where, you know, it was like, you know, somebody, you know, you had a table over on the side and just with, you know, with somebody over there going, waving at everybody saying, hey, you know, would you like to buy a golden apple for $5,000? I mean, he was working the room because he knew who had money. You know, he is the executive, basically the executive director of this program. And he knew who had money, and he's over there going, Matt, I've sold 8 of these. I got 2 left.
Yep.
I love that.
Give me your number and go ahead and buy one, because you know that's what I mean. He would push that kind.
I love the exclusivity and that delicate pressure. I think that's awesome.
Oh, there's a lot of psych
top end.
Well, I don't know how delicate his pressure was.
I use that term.
He got it done. Yeah,
your best self.
No, I don't think that's right for every event, but you know, I think that we miss out when we start thinking about raffles and the ability of people to pay for something.
Revenue generators. I think 2 is a great place to start. I think 2, if we can come back to that, guys, I think 2 is a great place to start. I think that we need to nudge people to at least consider it. You know,
well, if let's just do the math. So if let's say you've got a live auction, there's 1, you're going to do some kind of fund to need. There's 2, you do, let's say a golden ticket, you know, $100 or $250, or in this case, maybe you do 2. Well, you haven't gone
stimulated the audience.
I mean, it's not like you're not, you know, even if you did 3 raffles in that case, you're not doing it. And 5 is just an optimum. It's just kind of a number of reference. It's not, there's some places they just do 3, some places they don't do a live auction, but they have opportunities for some things like that to pull the money.
It's good. So, I just want folks to consider it, because we didn't just come up with this crazy harebrained idea. This is rooted in some data points that we're getting from clients right now. And Matt has a ton of experience doing it at banquets. Well, thankfully he's on our team now. So any questions about these revenue generators, you can call them raffles if you want, just for brevity's sake, or anything under the sun, everybody listen and reach out to Matt@HGAfundraising.com. He's a really swell guy and he's easy to talk to. And he'll tell you the good, the bad, and the indifferent about these different revenue generators and help you out and have a conversation. And he's available. So I hope that helps.
Well, you know, I mean, and I'm telling you how much knowledge this guy's got. I've been doing this for 30 years and I always think I kind of got a pretty good handle on it, but I've never asked anybody to break average revenue per person based on average raffle income.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Person.
I think that's a great data point. Yeah. I mean,
100%. We're tickled to have Matt on board so we can help everyone listening and everyone that reaches out with this kind of stuff. And we're here for you. So, thanks for sharing, Matt. Awesome. Thank you, Jay. And I'm glad you got 12 good words stuff. In, Matt. Thank you so much. It's tough with us.
I do have one thing I want to go back on that I missed.
Yeah, do it.
You had mentioned to me a scenario where one of our clients was doing a $100 raffle or golden ticket raffle pre-event, and they'd almost
sold out 3 weeks tickets before the event. So
they were trying to decide if they should offer another one or what was the best case scenario.
That
never-ending raffle that I mentioned is a great opportunity to run something like that where you can advertise it pre-event. Hey, every, this number of chances, we're drawing another winner.
Can we start drawing winners before the event even takes place?
I would probably, personally, I'd probably recommend to save those at your event just because it add that excitement.
It's because of excitement.
Just ask them. Yeah.
It gets energy.
Cool.
You could do that, but I would probably save it for the event and it kind of builds that excitement in the room. Hey, we sold four before the event. We're going to draw these guys right now. All these guys are going to the Caribbean. Would you like to go too? Kind of thing.
Cool.
That is a great way to run that. And you can advertise it every this many a chance is sold. We're drawing another winner. And
if
you're going to try to sell multiple, maybe you add in instead of just a one ticket price, you might have a bundle offer, five chances.
I think
that's smart.
Five chances for $500 and you get an extra one for free. And then the default mode people will be in no matter their capacity. They'll buy one ticket if you're offering $100. But if you set that tier up a little higher and offer a discount, five tickets or six tickets
more opportunity to win.
You'll turn over a lot more money pre-event and at the event by doing that.
Well, I want to just, because we're talking about that, this is something I think is you just have to do it. This is kind of, I don't care if you're doing one raffle, 10 raffles,
please,
whatever.
We're imploring
you. Do not take the money from the person at the time.
Oh, got it.
Just don't do it.
Sure.
It takes too much money. It takes too much time.
Too much
superpower. So I want to give you, an example. So I'm at an event. They're offering a Rolex. Okay. So the prize is a Rolex and you got 10 tickets for $100 or you got a double wingspan for $250.
That's awesome.
And so this table, it's all guys. We go there, we get to the table and I'm helping these ladies do the sales and they're starting to do it. And these guys are digging in their pockets, trying to find $100 bill. And I don't have anything. I said, no. I said, guys, you put it on your buyer number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can.
Yeah.
Well, then I want $250. Yeah. I want $250. Yep. Instantly
remove
like
that
friction. Eight guys all paid $250 and it took, 3 minutes. It took longer to peel the tickets apart and give them the ticket. And then they could drape them around their neck and they're walking around. Hey man, where'd you get what are those tickets for? It's for that Rolex. I'm going to win.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Cause I'm going to go buy some tickets. And then they start going around and they raised $37,000 for
awesome.
A Rolex selling $250 because the differentiation, put it on the bidder number.
And you remove the friction.
You got a gala and you're sitting there and, somebody's got their glass of wine and their cocktail and they're talking, their purse is over there. Yeah. Well, I don't know where my husband is. I want to, it gets real
missed
weird and it starts taking 3, 4, 5 minutes to do that. And I'm like, aren't you guys using bidder numbers? Yeah, we're using bidder numbers.
Put it on the number.
Well, then do that. Yeah. Well, but we're afraid they won't pay if they don't win. Of all the times I've seen that happen, maybe there's two or three people that didn't pay.
Shame on them.
But so you got $9,700 instead of $5,000 because of time. And my deal is they'll pay. You may have to call them. Yes, you pay. They'll pay. Most of them will, but it's still worth the money difference. I mean, if you got a couple of derelicts, well, you just don't ever let them come back again.
Absolutely. I think it's awesome. Yeah. Great stuff. I can't wait to share some of these ideas with people. I'm pretty excited. My mind was spinning yesterday.
Well, we just did.
Yeah. Well, I know you're right,
but
I went,
So,
well,
Yeah. And if you're listening today and you got anything out of this and there's anything that you take away, please share this, give us a like and subscribe. That helps with the ratings so we can get this out there to more nonprofit people that are working in nonprofits, because that's our old thing with this series. Yep. With Hey Nonprofits, Raise More Money. We just want you to get this information.
Yep.
So please do that for us, and we appreciate it. Share it with somebody.
Good stuff. Hope that was worth the price of admission. Everyone got some value out of it. Matt, thanks a ton, brother. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate it, man. Was awesome. Thank you, Jay.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.